Thank you for the messages in song this morning. Aren't you enjoying the weather out? Isn't it nice? I mean, it's just not cold yet. Some really strange weather going on this year. Heard about some very dangerous tornado watches down near Indianapolis this week. People were rushing for cover, and a lot of them ran right to the Colts football stadium there because they knew that they wouldn't be a touchdown. I couldn't resist that. I just couldn't resist it. It's got nothing to do with the sermon at all. Absolutely nothing. But at least I've got your attention now. Got some scriptures I want you to look up, please, and mark them in your Bible with your bulletin or whatever. Acts chapter 15. Hebrews 11. Philippians 3. Acts 15. Hebrews 11, Philippians 3. Gotten another one, but you probably can't remember four, so I'm going to just give you three right now. We might not get to the fourth one till this evening anyway. So I hope you come back tonight, because tonight I'm going to give more doctrinal foundation for what I say this morning. Acts chapter 15, Hebrews 11. And Philippians chapter 3. You'll remember we have been studying the solas of the Reformation, the alones. What are they? Can you help me as you thumb through your Bible? It is the Bible alone, grace alone, faith alone, Jesus alone, for the glory of God alone. You need to do that again. You did a lousy job. Here we go. The Bible alone, grace alone, faith alone, Jesus alone, for the glory of God alone. You're getting it, but you're also looking in your Bibles, and so I've got to understand that not all of you are multitaskers. I'm an uno tasker. I do one thing at a time. Acts chapter 15, we have the first Apostles' Creed stated. That is because some folks came along and said, remember, it's fine to believe in Jesus, but you know what? You need to go through some Jewish ceremony as well. And so the apostles got together and they said in Acts chapter 15 and verse 11, we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. That's our belief. And how do we get saved? Verse 9, just a couple of verses up. God put no difference between the Gentiles and the Jews, purifying their hearts by faith. By faith. What is faith? Well, faith simply means to believe. And that's why one chapter over, chapter 16 of the book of Acts, we have this familiar story. Paul and Silas end up in jail for preaching the gospel. People got upset because the gospel changed lives, and when lives were changed, people's pocketbooks were affected. They couldn't sell all the magic trinkets and nonsense that they were selling to people because people got rid of all that stuff, and they put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Verse 19 of Acts chapter 16. When her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, that is, there was this lady who was selling all this stuff, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers, brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. People get troubled when their pocketbooks get miscalculated somehow. These people, verse 21, teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. The multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes, ripped their clothes off them, commanded them to be beaten. And so when they had laid many stripes on them, that is, they beat them bloody, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer, keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. I mean, they were stuck in between pieces of wood, so they couldn't go anywhere. And in verse 25, it says, at midnight, Paul and Silas felt sorry for themselves. Whoops, I misread that. Excuse me. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. And the prisoners heard them. Isn't that interesting? It's when Christians sing in public, it's strange. But everybody else can do it, and it's not strange at all. Years ago, I was working in a public school in Kentucky, and I needed something to encourage me because the job was so rough. It really was. And I would stand there, and I would be singing, and I saw somebody out of the corner of my eye. Look, he's singing. Well, yeah, if you can sing about the devil, I can sing about the Lord. They heard them singing, and suddenly, verse 26, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened. Everyone's bands were loosed. The keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. Get the prisoners turned loose. During his watch, he would be killed anyway, so he might as well kill himself. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm. We are all here." Then he called for a light, sprang in, came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Your family believes, they'll be saved too." Just the same way. What does it mean to believe? What does it mean to believe? It means to have faith. Now, faith nowadays has gotten really poor press. You may know that. A lot of people believe that if you're a person of faith, you're simple-minded. You really can't, you're not capable of rational thought and or critical thinking of any kind. You're just sort of an emotional, using this psychological crutch to get you through life. And that idea of faith was expressed by a young boy in Sunday school class when teacher asked him, "What is faith?" And he answered, "Well, faith is believing something you know ain't so." That's not what faith is. But people have an idea that that's what it is. Jesse Ventura, he says, "Organized religion is a sham and a crutch for weak-minded people who need strength in numbers." Larry Flynn, the porn king, said, "There's nothing good that I can say about religion. People use it as a crutch." Ted Turner says Christianity is for losers. They view us as people who are weak, emotionally feeble, needing some sort of imaginary support because we're people of faith. Well, the Bible gives a different picture. You've got Hebrews chapter 11 there. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, what does it say? Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 gives people of faith a whole different view. It says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." This whole chapter in Hebrews, this whole chapter 11, extols people of faith. They were not weak. They were strong. They were by far more courageous than Jesse Ventura or Ted Turner or anybody else. They were courageous people. Not believing in a God out there is nothing new. 3,000 years ago in Psalm 14, David said, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." We don't have time to turn there, but if you see that portion of Scripture, it's the same one that's repeated again in Isaiah 53:1, and that is, or excuse me, Psalm 53:1, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." And in my translation here, as probably yours as well, when it says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is," the two words "there is" are italicized, which means they were added. They weren't in the original Hebrew. And so what it's actually saying is this: the fool has said in his heart, no God, no God. He looks all around and he sees everything that's there and he says, no God. There is no such thing as a God out there. But the fact of the matter is that he is a fool when he says that. Read an interesting article by a fellow by the name of Frank Turek. He talked about when he took a class in constitutional law at George Washington University. And his professor was an atheist. And she learned that he was a Christian. And so, of course, a lot of times when those people learn about that, they try to needle and upset and bother those in their class. And she says, oh, are you religious? You believe that the Bible is actually true? And, of course, he stammered and stuttered around a little bit, not knowing exactly what to say or how to say it. Since that time, he has written some very interesting things, and one of them is an article where he basically says that everyone is religious, everyone is a fundamentalist, and everyone has faith. And so he gives these three, these aren't the main points of my sermon, but they're interesting. He says everyone is religious. Everyone is. If you define religion as your explanation for why we're here or and how we got here, the origin of the universe and all that kind of a thing, everybody's religious. Everybody is. Some people are devout in their belief that God created. Some people are devout in their system of faith that there is no God. But everyone is religious. They espouse a position by faith because they cannot prove that there is not a God. So their position has to be a position of faith. All right, so everybody's religious. Then he goes on to say everybody's a fundamentalist as well. Everybody has fundamental beliefs about why things are the way they are. Atheists have the fundamental belief that there's no God, that life arose from non-life and intelligence came from someplace and we don't know where. There is no afterlife. And they have these fundamental beliefs. They're all by faith. He goes on to say that, yes, everybody does. Everybody does have faith. And so the issue is not who has faith and who isn't, doesn't have faith. The issue is what is the object of your faith and which is the most reasonable to believe. This guy wrote a book called I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. Very interesting title. I'll bet you it's a great book, too. Why did he write that? Because it takes more faith to believe like an atheist does. The universe has always been here, or if it hasn't always been here, it wasn't here, and then all of a sudden, it was here. Wow, that's a position of faith, isn't it? And all the intricate design and everything that you see, it all happened by accident. Life happened by accident, by chance. So the atheist has faith, and his faith is in his gods, and his gods are time and chance. Time and chance. If you give it enough time, things can actually happen by accident. And so time and chance are the gods of the atheist. Well, the Christian believes that God has always been there, not the universe. But God, the eternal God, has always been there. And at a point in time, he spoke this world into existence. He is the great designer. He is the one that created life. So the atheist has time and chance for his gods. And the Christian has God, the eternally existent designer and creator, as his God. Both are positions of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. Take a look at it. Hebrews 11, 3. You can go back to it. Hope you kept it. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It's a position of faith. God does not hide that from us. We cannot know about origins because we were not there. So what we have to decide is which position is more reasonable, a position that says there is no God or a position that says there is a God. And of course, those of us who are believers in the Lord have faith that God is who he said he is. Don Boyes, former Indiana House representative, writes extensively on a lot of these things. And he challenges some of these new atheists that are really aggressive, Dawkins and Hitchens, Dennett and Harris, these guys, he says, tell us, will you please, do you believe that nothing created everything or not? Just tell us, will you tell us? Tell us how scientific laws came into existence, like gravity and inertia and the first and second laws and laws of planetary motion, etc. How did they evolve? Can you provide me any examples at all of an explosion that resulted in order? Can you tell me how that life formed on this planet that was made entirely of rock? Do you really believe in spontaneous generation? There was no life and now there's life. Where are the ancestors of the insects? Tell us how men and women evolved at just the right time and location. What if early man had only been male? Which evolved first? Listen to this. Which evolved first? The mouth? The stomach? The rest of the digestive system? What good is a mouth if there's no stomach? Or a digestive system, what good is that if there's no mouth? He goes on to say, atheism, is it really worth the risk in having a faith in something like that? Hardly. Eternity is a long time to be wrong. And yet these people criticize Christians for having faith. Believing that God created everything out of nothing, which the Bible says he did. God spoke and it appeared. That is our eternal God. And they scorn us for this. But you know what? It's interesting. Scientist Quentin Smith says this, the most reasonable belief is that we came from nothing, by nothing, and for nothing. We came from nothing, by nothing, and for nothing. Now this is a scientist speaking. Stephen Hawking declared the universe likely just popped into existence without violating any laws of nature. Isn't that interesting? What is that? Physicist Robert Matthews of Ashton University in England says, it is now becoming clear that everything can and probably did come from nothing. What? Well, we know from Scripture, a sovereign God created everything out of nothing. But scientists actually believe that nothing created everything out of nothing. Now, which is more reasonable to believe? Which is more reasonable? Now, let's start over again, he says. What is nothing? Well, atheists don't know, but they know everything came from it. Aristotle suggested that nothing is what a rock dreams about. That may indeed be true. Hebrews 11:3. What does it say? What does it say? Very, very clear. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Everyone here today has faith. Everyone. And when Paul said to that jailer in Acts chapter 16, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, he was saying you need to place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to give to you very briefly this morning what it means to believe. What does it mean to believe? And there are three statements that I want to make. The first statement is this. When you believe, you trust. When you believe, you trust. Because that's indeed what the word means. You're trusting in someone. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Believing is trusting. What are you trusting? When you trust, and here's the second part of that first point, and I want you to get it. When you believe, you trust, and when you're trusting, what are you doing? You are repenting from any mental reservation regarding the blood of Christ and its power. When you truly believe, you are repenting from any idea that you had that the blood of Christ is not sufficient for your salvation. When I get on an airplane and they shut the door and that woman stands up there and gives the speech that nobody listens to, I am trusting in that pilot and that co-pilot to push all the right buttons and to do the right stuff. I'm trusting in them. At that point in time, I am committed. I have repented from any idea that they don't know what they're doing and that they're going to be fine. When you believe, you trust in the Lord Jesus as Savior. Number two, when you believe, you exclude. That's the second statement I want to make. You exclude. When you believe, you exclude all self-effort of any kind as the focus and object of your faith. Even your faith, by the way. When you believe, you exclude, you put out all self-effort. Another way of saying it is you repent. Remember we said when you trust, you repent of any mental reservation regarding the blood of Christ. All right, when you believe, you exclude everything else and you repent from any self-effort. You know, some people think they don't have to repent from sin, but self-effort in God's eyes is sin. Because it is saying to God, I think I might be good enough to make it on my own. Well, with your help, of course. We need to repent from that. So when you believe, you repent and you exclude any self-effort. That's why I had you turn to Philippians chapter 3, if you'll take a quick peek there. The Apostle Paul, if anybody had enough points to rack up before God to earn his salvation, it was the Apostle Paul. He said in Philippians chapter 3, starting with verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I got more, buddy. You just look at my list of stuff. Look at my resume. Philippians 3, 5. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, the Hebrew, the Hebrews, touching is the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, troubling, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Man, he said, my resume is really good. I was the most religious person. I was the best in every way. I was the top of my class, everything about it. But you know what he says? Verse 7. He says, I repented from any self-effort. He said, all those things that were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. What I thought was gaining me points was not gaining me points with God. Yea, doubtless, verse 8, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung. Dung. All of the good things that you think that you could do to help God get you to heaven are dung. Dung, cow pies, feces. How can I say it any more clearly? That when we present to God our righteousness, it's like filthy rags that we're shoving in God's face. When you believe, you exclude anything that you could ever do to try to earn salvation. There's nothing that you can do. You exclude all because you repent from any self-effort of any kind. Even your exercise of faith. We'll say more about that this evening. Years ago, my sister jumped from an airplane and I watched her. Quite interesting. Quite interesting. Her husband was a skydiver and she wanted him to quit. And she said, if you don't quit, I'm going to start. And well, he didn't quit. So she started. And this was out in the Arizona, out in the desert. And she jumped out of the airplane. Well, first few times you jump out, you're tethered to the airplane still. So that the thing that you're supposed to pull, the ripcord, it's tied to the airplane. So if you faint and everything else, your chute will still open. But you pretend. You go 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, and you pretend, but it opens anyway. Well, Mike, my brother-in-law, he could float down and land on an X. I mean, he was really good. My sister, no. Way off someplace. Landed in the desert, split her pants, everything, you know. She was okay. She was okay. You know, when she jumped out of that airplane, folks, she wasn't trusting in the fact that she'd done pretty well that week on her job. She was trusting in one thing, at silk stuff that catches air. That's the only thing, excluding all else. Well, I was nice to my husband. It doesn't make any difference. If the silk doesn't work, you're a sort of a mess down there at the end. The ride is good, but the ending is not good. And folks, listen. You exclude all else. Nothing else will save you. Nothing, nothing, nothing. When you put your trust in Christ, you are trusting in Him and Him only for your salvation. Because when you believe, when you truly believe, you exclude all else. And you repent from self-effort. Number three, when you believe, you receive. You receive. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power, the authority to become the children of God. You receive. What does that mean? Well, you repent from rejecting. You've heard and you've understood the gospel, but until you have received the Lord Jesus Christ personally as your Savior, you're rejecting Him. You're rejecting Him. You're saying, no, no, not today. I'll get saved next week. You know, the devil never says don't get saved. He just says don't get saved today. And if he can keep saying that day after day after day, he's got you. When you are unbelieving, you are rejecting God's gift of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. You are rejecting. When you believe, you repent from that rejection. And you receive Him as your Savior and Lord. That's what it means to believe. And Dawkins and Bennett and all these guys who make fun of Christians because we are people of faith, they are the fools. And eternity is going to be a long time for them to remember the opportunities they had to believe not only in the existence of God, but in the provision of God for your salvation and for mine. When that jailer in Acts chapter 16 got saved, he didn't join something. He didn't merely subscribe to certain doctrinal truths about Jesus. He committed himself to the one about whom those doctrinal truths spoke. He had heard the Apostle Paul preach. He knew what the gospel was. And so when he became desperate, he believed. He repented and he believed. And by the way, that's why in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, you read the apostles' sermons, it's all about repentance. Repentance is not a work. Repentance is just the opposite side of the coin of belief. When one is there, the other one is there. Because when you believe, you repent of self-effort. You repent of mental reservation regarding the blood of Christ. You repent of any self-effort you have. And you repent of rejecting Him. And you place yourself in His care. You rest yourself in the very wounds of the Lord Jesus for all of eternity. Now, my question to you this morning is this. Have you believed on Christ? Do you know that you are a Christian because you have believed on Christ? Not have you believed about Him, but have you believed on Him? Have you put your trust? It's not a matter of I believe that the pilot can get me from here to Arizona to visit my mama. No, it's a matter of getting in the airplane. Have you believed on Christ? Have you put your trust in Him? Have you repented from your rejection? Have you repented from any self-effort? Have you repented from your selfish spirit? Have you seen yourself as God sees you? Have you seen Christ as God wants you to see Him? Your sacrifice, your payment for your sins, that which satisfies the righteous demands of God. Have you seen in your mind's eye the Lord Jesus dying and rising for you? Do you have assurance of salvation based upon what He did for you? Can you say with the hymn writer that someday bold shall I stand in thy great day because Christ is my righteousness? I'll have none of my own. I will have the very righteousness of Christ credited to my account. We're going to talk about that tonight. I hope that you come. This is only half of what I wanted to say. The other half is tonight. Oh, I hope you come if you're able to. Have you trusted? Have you believed? Let's bow in prayer, shall we? If you haven't believed, if you haven't trusted, you're not trusting in your trust. It's not your faith, it's the object of your faith. Your faith is nothing. Your faith is like the dirty hand of a beggar receiving a free gift from someone else. There's no merit in that. Have you believed? If you've not, right now, right where you are seated, please repent of any self-effort. Repent of your rejection. Repent of mental reservation. Oh, I'm not quite sure the blood's good enough. Yes, the blood of Christ is good enough. Yes, it is. And God wants you not to doubt. He wants you to say, Lord, thank you that it doesn't depend on me. It depends on you. Boy, that's good stuff. That's fantastic. He wants you to rest in His wounds for all eternity. He wants you to rejoice in your sins forgiven and forgotten forever by God Almighty through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, if you haven't received Him right now, just tell Him, Lord, I repent of my sins. I believe what You said. I entrust my eternity into Your care. Lord, I'm getting in the airplane right now. Tell Him that. Oh, tell Him that. It's not a matter of becoming a Baptist or a Methodist or a Presbyterian or a Mennonite or a Brethren or whatever. It's a matter of becoming a Christian through faith in Jesus alone. You're not joining anything. You're resting in Jesus Christ, the Lord. Father, I pray. Thank You for this great and wonderful and encouraging truth that when we simply come to You like children, we're accepted in the Beloved, in Christ. We're safe forever. God, give joy and blessing and assurance to that one who may be struggling this morning, and bring conviction and fear upon that one who is yet rejecting today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books, please, and turn to hymn number 332. Hymn number 332. Let me just say a word for the instrumentalist start. Once in a while, we give an altar call here. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. The reason we do is because we want to give an opportunity for folks to respond so that we can get you with a counselor. Sometimes the reason if we don't is because we don't want you to trust in the fact that you walked an aisle. That doesn't do any good. Walking an aisle does nothing. Placing faith in Jesus does everything. This morning, we are going to give an altar call. If you're not sure about your salvation, I would invite you to come. I will assign a counselor to you, and they will help you to come to know the Lord. Number 332, Just As I Am, let's stand together, please, to sing.
Thank you.
going to ask Pastor Henry to lead in a closing prayer. The altar call is closed, but the invitation is not closed. Please, if you've trusted Christ, if you found assurance, or you want more help in regard to this, talk to someone before you leave today. Make sure about that. Make sure of your salvation. And I do hope you'll come back tomorrow, or excuse me, tonight, 7:40. You can come back tomorrow, too, if you want to, I guess. Anybody going to be here tomorrow? I don't know. I will. Come back tonight, 7 o'clock. Hope that you will. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Our Father, we're grateful to you for the simple invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. We thank you that the Lord Jesus said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's by grace, through faith, through the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus on the basis of his shed blood. As the hymn writer said, Jesus paid it all. It's not of works. Impress that truth upon our hearts this morning. We will thank you for your working and blessing in Christ's name. Amen.